I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation and to everyone, hallelujah, that believes. Every day, as a believer, I am celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus because I know he lives. And more importantly, he is living inside of me. I hope that I have people on the line who are woke with me this morning. Hallelujah. Today is resurrection day, if you will, because he lives. He lives. And he's living, hallelujah, if you allow me to say it like this, he's living inside of me as the unquestionable truth. He's living inside of me as the sojourner truth. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. Since Resurrection Sunday, we have been sharing from the book of St. Luke, Dr. Luke, chapter 24. And yesterday, we are still there. Hallelujah. So please journey with me with your eyes and with your ears and with your hearts and with your minds. And let's go back to St. Luke chapter 24. And I would ask that you consider with me, in particular today, verses 25 through 29. Verses 25 through 29 of Luke chapter 4. Let me read. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went into tarry with them. May God bless those that have heard the word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that now, this moment, that the Holy Spirit will begin to shift our thoughts from the natural to the spiritual so we can fully comprehend and strategically apply to our lives the scriptures concerning your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Last week, we shared from the thought the sojourner truth. And I'm hoping that we all had moments this past week where the sojourner truth, Jesus Christ himself, broke the word down for us and with us in small pieces while we were engaged in the mundane things of our daily routine. I hope that we had an opportunity to experience this past week a heart-burning moment. Hallelujah. We experienced that heartburn as the Spirit of Christ spoke to us about the scriptures concerning himself. I was led to use that thought last week, the sojourner truth, because I believe that God would have us in this moment of time to appreciate that we are on a journey. Just like the disciples, we are on a journey too. And we're just trying to get back home. We're just trying to get back home. And when I say that we're just trying to get back home, I mean more than just where we live. I mean more than just where we may be right now on this call. I am talking about where you abide and where you dwell. I echo again for all of you that have an ear to hear, Psalm 91, verse 1. Because God is no respected person. He or she that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Are you dwelling in that secret place with Jehovah? Hallelujah. I just want to tell you once again, if you ain't already, if you didn't know, you can know now that it's not about your zip code. It's not about your church membership. It's not about who your pastor is or your bishop is or how long you have been saved. The question is this. Are you dwelling in a secret place? Because you are in a true and intimate relationship with the Father through the Son. Oh, yes, we can be saved and still not learn the love language of God to dwell and abide in that secret place. I hope that you're listening to the word with me this morning. I'm also, as I think about it, I'm not talking about fake news or as the scriptures would say, of those having a form of godliness, a form of religion, a form of church membership, but denying the power thereof. I am talking about a life that shows you know him, the Lord Jesus, in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. Hallelujah. Do you know him this morning? In that secret place. As we move beyond the shallow waters of Christianity into the deeper depths of Christ-likeness, I believe that the Lord would have our focus shift from the unquestionable truth, the sojourner truth, to see our Lord and Savior as the truth of hospitality. That's my subject for today, the truth of hospitality. I was moved by the hospitality shown by Cleopas and the unnamed disciple, as recorded by Dr. Luke, to this stranger, someone that they did not recognize by prior personal experiences and encounters. They didn't know that they were walking with Jesus. They didn't know that they had been overtaken by the sojourner truth. Walk with me again back to verses 28 and 29. Which state, and they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It is from these two verses that the Spirit quickened in me this thought about the truth of hospitality. I'm convinced that if you really want to know about the mark of maturity, if you really want to know about whether or not we are engaged in this Christ-likeness, we need to really check out the measure of our hospitality. In the general context of its use in the Word of God, hospitality is the practice of entertaining strangers graciously. In fact, it is embedded in the traditional customs of those from the Middle East and was certainly practiced in the days of the patriarchs like Abraham and the sojourner Old Testament church on their way to the Promised Land. Matter of fact, when you go to Genesis chapter 18, you find this wonderful story of Abraham entertaining strangers, three men. Three who looked like men, and one of them we know who was the Son of God. Hallelujah. So we see in the Old Testament hospitality being demonstrated. In the New Testament, in this period of grace and truth by Christ Jesus, hospitality is the hallmark of those who are truly Christ-like. The true essence of hospitality is the practical application, if you will, of customer service. Extend it to someone as a guest by offering them without any expectation of return the gift of comfort. That gift of comfort, it could be food, it could be drink, it could be clothes, it could be a well-placed word of edification and strength to someone who's going through the circumstances of life. In my humble opinion, Hospitality is a virtue that is not often practiced in the United States of America. It seems like people all over this country really need some training on hospitality, especially when it comes to appreciating and valuing the souls of Black folk. It is also difficult just by itself to even get your family to treat you right at times and to bring comfort to you even during the season of a pandemic and the season of brutality and the season of economic famine and the season of death. It's obvious to see that America has a different culture, if you will, than what is written in the scriptures and what is practiced by the Hebrews. So watch this, watch this, watch this. What is the culture of your mind? What is the culture of your mind? Do you have a culture of hospitality? Can you think of the last time that you engaged in the practice of hospitality and brought some comfort to a weary soul in a strange land? Hospitality ain't about having a party and inviting others to come who can come and who will bring you a gift. Hospitality is not inviting somebody to church when you don't even invite them for a cup of coffee. Family hospitality is the spontaneous, unrestrained, random acts of kindness that are not subjected to the quid pro quo of doing for others who would do for us. Hospitality is shown because we want to, not because we have to. That's what love is. Love is because we want to, not because we have to. For God so loved the world that he gave us his son, the truth of hospitality. I hope that you're listening with me this morning. Jesus is the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God, the truth of hospitality. Listen, listen, listen to the logos with me this morning as recorded in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. Jesus is speaking. He says this, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say, let me pause here. Right on, King Jesus, with your woolly hair and bronze feet self. Right on, King Jesus. Hallelujah. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him. I believe that's those that have received him and have been given power to become the sons and the daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, in as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, hallelujah, unto one of the least of these, my sisters, you have done it unto me. Oh my God, can you see the truth of hospitality in Jesus, the wonderful, spontaneous, unrestrained acts of kindness, who was given to the least of his brothers, to the least of his sisters, those who are truly in Christ, demonstrate by practical example the nature of Christ in their hospitality toward others, regardless of race, regardless of culture. Oh, God. Including those, especially those who are in the household of faith. In fact, Paul wrote in Romans 12 and 13 that the body of Christ, those who are the ecclesia, were to respond and deliver to the necessity of the saints and should be given to hospitality. When you're sick, I'm bringing you food. When you're thirsty, I'm bringing you drink. When you're naked, I'm bringing you clothing. I'm taking in the stranger, if you will, as empowered and inspired by God. And what that means, hallelujah, is that love people. Love people. That's Pastor A.D. right there. Love people. Love people. The truth of hospitality is that love people. Love people. Are you listening with me this morning? I can't think of a better time. A season more critical than right now for the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the saints of the Most High God, to spend more of the time and the resources on body and souls rather than bricks and more, to reaffirm that point that love people, souls, because all souls matter. Souls all over the country are in need of a spiritual blessing born out of a real time, a right on time, just in the Christ of time. Meaningful and practical distribution of love and comfort. And when you think about it, on one level, we really don't need more sermons. We don't need more gospel songs. We don't need more church conferences. We need more service. We need more love. We need more comfort. We need more random acts of warmth and humility. We need more hospitality demonstrated one to another in real time. The Lord Jesus said this, by this, men will know that you are my disciples because of the love you have one for another. By this, the comfort. By this, the love that we show. By this, the hospitality that we pour out on one another. Yes, by this, men will know that you are my disciples because of the love you share. So as I close here, hospitality is that defining moment where we become a gift and a giver. A gift and a giver. It's the intersection of reaching up to God in love and reaching out to each other in the demonstration of unconditional love. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says it like this. I beseech you, therefore, sisters, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Because I know, hallelujah, that hurt people. But don't be conformed to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Love people. Hallelujah. Love people. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Help us, Holy Ghost, to love people. To just love people. We can see that in Jesus Christ. Can't we? We can see that in him, who we know as the gift and the giver. while we're trying to be a gift and a giver, Jesus Christ is the gift and the giver. The Lord Jesus, our righteous King and our High Priest, showed us the powerful example of being the gift and the giver when he bled out on the cross. From the sixth to the ninth hour, from mid-morning to early afternoon, to reunite men and women back to God. Hallelujah. Can you see hospitality hating on the cross? Can you see hospitality bleeding out on the cross? Can you see Christ distributing forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation and healing and salvation to the necessity of the saints and the world? Can you see the truth of hospitality this morning? So let me ask you this. What hospitality is your mind? What hospitality is your mind? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And reflect. Preach out. Pray out. Sing out. Live out. Love out the truth of hospitality. Amen. 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 And amen.